1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went instead by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.' And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' So she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth.' So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 16. The last time we had left God's servant Elijah, we had noted him at the brook Cherith, having spoken to Ahab and told him there would be no rain until he said so. God takes Elijah aside to the brook Cherith, where he would be further trained and strengthened and prepared for his future ministry. God said to him, "Get away from here, turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." Elijah was going to face some difficult days ahead, but this was a timely reminder to him that God knew the way that he was taking, that God was in control of every step that he would take, and God was leading him, and therefore he had absolutely nothing to fear. We remember how God miraculously provided for his servant there at the brook Cherith through the water that was running to him, and miraculously sending ravens in the morning and in the evening to meet the need of his weary servant. But it happened that after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And as that brook dried up, Elijah had learned to trust on the giver, not the gifts. Elijah had to keep trusting and not move until God told him to do so. And so long as he kept his eyes on God and trusted him for his provision, then God was well able to provide for him. This morning we come to these verses again to a new challenge at Zarephath, a new challenge at Zarephath. God had led Elijah to Cherith. He had proved his faithfulness to him there. But now God redirects his servant to a new stage of the journey. And what a wonderful experience it would prove to be for Elijah. Some of us don't like change. Some of us are comfortable where we are. Some of us perhaps are more happy to be where we are inside that little place that we have made for ourselves that doesn't demand too much from us. But Elijah was not that kind of character. He was sitting at the brook Cherith as the little brook began to dry up, having learned his utter dependence upon God. And now God wants to take him and to develop him and move him on to the next stage of his journey. And I want to mention three simple things this morning as time permits, as we think about the verses we've just read. I want you to note here the testings that Elijah endured. Look at verse 7 and 8 again very quickly and listen to what God says to his servant. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now the brook of Cherith might have dried up, but God's provision for his servant certainly didn't. And Elijah knew that the times were a-changing, because every day as he waited alongside the brook, it happened that the water began to dry up and the ravens didn't come anymore morning or evening. So he waited and he listened for the voice of God, maybe concerned about his circumstances, maybe wondering about what was happening to him. But he was sure in his heart that God had directed him thus far. And now God redirects him and God speaks to him again, because with all his changing circumstances, God knew exactly what he was doing in Elijah's life. And beloved, let me say this in passing today. God does not leave us in the dark if we are waiting on him. If you and I are genuinely seeking him and seeking his direction in life, and we've been praying over it and looking to God to show us or reveal to us through his word what it is he wants us to do, where it is he wants us to be, if we are doing that, God will not leave us in the dark. For Elijah, Cherith had been a place of safety and solitude while things were waxing worse and worse in Israel, and God had taught him to be patient, and God had taught Elijah to wait on him. And then it says the word came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow woman to provide for you. As God redirects him, there are a few tests of faith that Elijah has to consider. And it's good from time to time that you and I have our faith tested. I've said to you already before that if our faith is not tested, then we'll not know what sort of faith we have. If God doesn't challenge us, and if God doesn't bring some things into our lives to shake us out of our carelessness and apathy at times, we will just drift on in life and perhaps never fulfill the potential that God has in store for us. So Elijah's faith is going to be tested again, because there are still lessons that this man needed to learn. Note two things about the testings. Look first of all at the dangers he faced. Remember, up until this time, Elijah had been in a place of safety. He's well away from Ahab. He's well away from this apostate people who were worshipping Baal. And he finds himself at this little brook here, sitting alone with God, when God comes to him and says, Elijah, you're on the move. And I want you to go here to Zarephath. And for Elijah, that meant a journey of about 100 miles. And God was taking Elijah on a journey that was not only long but hazardous. He was asking him to go back to the very city that this wicked Queen Jezebel had come from. He was sending him to a Gentile city, to a heathen people where the worship of Baal was prominent. And you'll understand that for Elijah, there are many dangers involved in this. I mean, after all, he's the one who had boldly stood before Ahab and told him there would be no more rain.
And the people are now in the midst of a famine, and they're suffering greatly, and some of them are on the verge of dying. And here's a man who is now on the move. He has to walk 100 miles. It's dangerous, it's difficult, and there are no guarantees of any provision along the way. He was going to have to journey through Ahab's territory. He would even have to make his way through the territory that was ruled by Jezebel's father. It would take great courage. It would demand great trust on Elijah's part to follow God every step of the way. Beloved, sometimes the way in which God deals with us might seem strange to us. But God knows what He's doing, even if we don't. And sometimes the way in which God leads us might prove to be difficult. But God knows what He's doing, even if we don't. Take your thoughts back for a moment to the children of Israel. Remember how God led them out of their bondage in Egypt? He led them in a way that was entirely strange to them. Because we read this in Exodus 13, verse 17. God led them not through the land of the Philistines, although that was near, but God led His people about through the way of the wilderness and the Red Sea. And a journey that should have taken a number of days to get to the outskirts of Canaan took these people 40 years through the wilderness as God dealt with them at that time. But here's the encouraging thing. That as they journeyed throughout all their wanderings, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and by night in a pillar of a fire to give them light. So God went before them and God protected them and God watched out for them every step of the way, even though they didn't know where they were going. And here is Elijah undertaking a difficult, dangerous, hazardous journey. And God is still in control of this man's life. Maybe this morning you have been seeking the mind of God about something. Maybe you have genuinely been looking to the Lord and praying over it and wondering what it is that God wants to do with you. What is the next stage of your ongoing walk with God? And maybe you're a bit confused. Maybe you're unclear. Well, remember this. God's ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are far above our thoughts. There are times when we don't see God as clearly as we ought to do, or we think we should, and we just have to trust Him. There are times when we might be confused about things in our lives, even wonder where God is leading, even wonder what God is doing, but we have to trust Him. And we have to allow God to lead us every step of the way. And sometimes our faith has to be exercised every step. Every step. And sometimes God doesn't show us until we take that step, and then He shows us the next step. Sometimes that's the way it is. There's not just the dangers he faced. Look at the diligence he showed. There's a lovely little phrase here, and it simply says this: so he arose and went to Zarephath. Elijah's response is one of great faith. It's one of a deep trust in God, but it's also one of great diligence. He doesn't argue with God about the dangers that might meet him on the way. He doesn't tell God it might be better for him to stay at Cherith until the rains come and the brook begins to fill up and, God, you did it once, you can do it again. Send the ravens, I'll just stay there. There's no negotiation here on his part with God. He simply arose and he went to Zarephath. And all the lessons of Cherith as he had sat by that brook day after day after day after day looking to God and God miraculously providing for his need. Now when God says, arise and go to Zarephath, he does so with confidence, he does with trust, he does so with diligence because he knows he can leave it in the hands of God. Dr. John Patton was born into a very humble home in the south of Scotland. Against the advice of family and friends, he left Scotland to work in the New Hebrides in 1858. The people he went to were barbarians. They lived in complete darkness as far as the gospel was concerned. The work was always going to be difficult. Patton knew that. But he also knew that God was leading him. Within 4 months, his wife and child died. He had to dig their graves with his own hands. He was driven from the island, from the very people that God had sent him to reach. He almost died himself from a severe fever. But he persevered. He kept going until he saw the gospel penetrate the lives of those darkened people. And Patton said this of God's leading to this difficult work. He says, I have never doubted that ultimately the victory there, as everywhere, would be on the side of Christ. Beloved, sometimes as you and I look at the work that we do for God, sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it can be discouraging. Sometimes it can be a means of us saying to ourselves, is it really worth it? Listen. There are times when you've got to keep trusting and you've got to keep persevering. And never doubt that the victory will be on the side of Christ. If God is in it and God directs us as he did with Elijah, he expects us to be obedient, to follow his way, because our obedience is the most important step of all. After all, we sometimes sing the words, don't we, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds in our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and for all who will trust and obey. Elijah was being tested. He had already proved God in one situation, and now God's moving him to another situation because there are still lessons for him to learn. The testings Elijah endured, the training Elijah experienced. He'd already been taught, as I've said, some important lessons at Cherith. Taught great patience. He was taught to depend on the giver, not the gifts, because the raven stopped coming and the brook dried up. But now as he comes to Zarephath, there are further lessons here for him to learn. Note here the widow's plight. Remember what God said to Elijah? Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So Elijah goes. And when he arrives at Zarephath, the picture is very bleak. Because listen to these words in verse 9. He arose, went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water and a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare a meal for myself and for my son that we may eat it and die. Not very encouraging, was it? This man had set at the little brook, amazed at the miraculous provision of God, encouraged by the solitude of being alone with God, away from everything that was happening all around him with Ahab and this apostate people. And then God breaks into his life again and he says, Elijah, go to Zarephath and I'll provide for you there. And he goes. And when he arrives with this widow woman, she hasn't a bite to eat. She's dejected and she's desperate. She's at the point of destitution. And we must remember that for a widow in those days, things were bad enough when the times were good. But now times are bad. She had littler opportunity for employment, but she was expected to be the breadwinner. She's down and out. She's preparing her last meal, expecting that both she and her son will soon die of hunger. This woman had come to the end of her tether. Her resources have run out. And quite simply, there's no reason any longer for her to live. And if I was standing in Elijah's shoes, I'd be looking heavenward and I'd be saying, but God, why did you bring me here? Why? I've said it before, but it's worth repeating. As God's people, the trials of life don't pass us by. As God's people, we are not immune to times of suffering. As God's people, we have to face times of dejection and discouragement because that's what life throws at us. I was just sitting this morning thinking over this past week about the things that have happened not just nationally, but locally. There are homes this morning that have been plunged into great grief. There are homes today where people are sitting at the end of their tether. There are homes today and people are asking the question, and they're God's people, and they're asking the question, Lord, why me? Why our family? Why my son? Why my dad? And there are no easy answers to their questions. And sometimes, like this widow woman, we find ourselves at the end of our tether. And we see no way out of our situation. We feel even sometimes that life is no longer worth the living. But listen, beloved, this is where our faith comes in. And this is where our walk with God matters, and this is where our trust comes to the fore. No matter how bleak it seems, no matter the discouragements we face, the Christian always has God on their side. The Christian has always God by our side. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that, and sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But that's the promise that God gives to us in His Word, and we need to grasp it. There's not just the widow's plight. Look at the prophet's promise, verse 13 and 14. Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And Elijah asks this woman for a little cake and she has nothing left. Nothing. It might seem strange to us that Elijah does that. Is he being self-centered? Is he just being selfish? Is he more concerned about himself than he is with a dying woman? No. Elijah was well aware that her resources were limited. Elijah knew that her circumstances were bleak. Elijah was aware of the plight that she faced. But Elijah also knew God was able. Elijah also knew God was able. How? Well, had he not just witnessed God's miraculous provision at the brook Cherith? Had he not, morning by morning, got up, brushed himself down, took of the brook, watched for the ravens flying in with the flesh? Had he not done that at night in the same process all over again as God continued to do exactly what God had promised to do? If God was able to send ravens morning and evening to Elijah, He was able to sustain this woman and her son. And if God could make provision at Cherith, then Zarephath would be no difficulty. There's a difference here in between Elijah and the woman. The fact is, the widow's eyes were in the bin of flour and the jar of oil. But Elijah's eyes were on a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we ask or even dare to think. Beloved, how important our faith is as we journey through life. Faith goes on ahead and trusts God for the results, someone has said. Faith is not caught up in circumstances, it's occupied with the God who controls them. We need to remember that when the chips are down. When it seems as if for us the whole bottom has fallen out of our world and everything has crashed in around us. Sometimes, like the widow woman, our eyes are on our circumstances when they ought to be on God. What happens when you get your eyes off God? You become overwhelmed. That's the first thing. You forget that God is able, and what you say and what I say is, I'm not able. And then you begin to lose heart. And everything's downward. And then you begin to lose joy. And there's no spiritual joy wells up within us at any time because life just has closed in around us. And then ultimately we lose hope. And like this widow woman, she's just going out to get a couple of sticks, light a fire, make her last meal, and then she and her son will just lie down and die. Beloved, over and above all of our circumstances, there is a God in heaven today who never fails. Never. There is a God who controls all things by the word of His power. There is a God who is in control of my life. And sometimes I have to remember that and hold on to it. And there's a God who's in control of your life too. And just as He had a plan in salvation for Christ, He has a plan for your life and mine, and we need to trust Him. And in those dark, difficult days, stand on His promises and claim them by faith. Stories told of a businessman who arrived every single day at the city hall in Brooklyn, stood at the same time every day waiting for the big clock to strike 12 noon. Every day he would come and hold on tightly to the railings. And when the clock would strike 12, he stood and he counted every chime of the clock. And then, as if in dejection, he bowed his head and he made his way home. He did that every day for 8 years. He never missed a day. He never missed a chime. And then he died. And when he died, his family were asked why he had gone through this ritual every single day. Then the family told what had happened to him. He had been a businessman with a thriving business. His business had gone bad. One of his friends, who was a very wealthy businessman, promised to lend him money that he needed to get through this difficult period in his life. Over the phone one day, they'd arranged to meet at the clock outside the city hall. But the man never turned up with the money. The man's business collapsed around him. He had a breakdown. Something happened in his brain that meant he would never be the same again. And every day he would come to the clock, just hoping that the man would keep his promise. just hoping that the man would come with the money. But it just didn't happen. God's not like that. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. When God says something, He does it. When God gives us a promise, you and I can stand upon it. God will never, ever break His word. The testings Elijah endured, the training Elijah experienced, the triumph that Elijah expected very quickly. Jareth had deepened his faith in God, no doubt about that. So on this occasion, in Zarephath, in a very difficult place, he expected God to fulfill his promise. He expected this woman to play her part, and that's what happened. Look at a promise that was so sweet. Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Just when it seemed there was no hope, God stepped in. Just when it seemed her resources were finished, she would have enough and more than enough to cope with. Just when it seemed as if life was almost over, she was given the encouragement to keep pressing on. And if there was a promise that was so sweet, there was a provision that was more than sufficient. Verse 15, she went away, did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. What a picture that is. Every day, just enough to see them through. Every day she'd go to the bin and the jar of oil, there'd be enough. Every day a constant supply to meet their need. Every day God kept His promise and God made the provision. Beloved, what a God we have this morning. Remember the words of that hymn by Annie Johnston Flint, and I'll close. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary, known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. The testings Elijah endured, sometimes as a believer in Christ, it's tough. The training that Elijah experienced, God was teaching him things he needed to learn. The triumph that Elijah expected, God did it just as He said. And even though for Elijah Zarephath was a new challenge, Elijah's God was the same God. A God whose power knows no limit. A God whose promises are never broken. A God whose provision never runs out. Is that the God you believe in today? Is that the God I'm trusting in today? Elijah, he's gone. God, he's still here. Let's pray. Father, we confess that sometimes, like this widow woman, we are prone to get our eyes on circumstances and not on You. We thank You today that Your power knows no limit.
Your resources are abundant. Whatever we face today, that you're well able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ask or even dare to think. Would you increase our faith? Would you help us to get our eyes heavenward today to the God who sits on the throne? Would you help us, Father, to trust you step by step and to leave you to control all our ways? We ask it for Christ.